Welcome back into the show. Oakland Heart Rolex time is 2 hours and 50 minutes before kickoff. Saints Bengals up there in the cold. It's just about right at freezing right now, about 32, 33 degrees. As we look at the temperature up in Cincinnati, should be about 40, 42 by the time it kicks off up there.
Oh, that should be perfect.
I know.
If it's if it's not like raining or not even rain, if it's windy. Is cold wind is really the only thing that sort of affects you. And I'm talking about, you know, steady, you know, 30 mile an hour winds or stuff like that. That, and then you've got a chill factor or something like that in the teens or something. But that would be the only thing that really sort of affects. And then really all that really affects is sort of the quarterback and receivers and, you know, the flight of the football and stuff like that. But as far as it being cold and stuff like that, no, it was, that was a thing where we, I know it was an offensive line. We went out and it was like, absolutely no, you got to go sleeveless. Guns got to be blazing because it's always funny. I always got the assumption that some of these teams that would play up there, they always thought that because we were in New Orleans that we'd come up there and somehow the cold was going to affect us and it was going to be. I'm like, you know, all these people that play on this team, the New Orleans Saints, they're not from South Louisiana.
Right. I mean, I know, it always cracks me up.
I was like, I'd see more guys, you know, that played for Green Bay or Buffalo or whatever that were from the South than the guys that were on our team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like, it was just funny to me. I used to think this is crazy. They think somehow, some way that we're coming out of, because, you know, we're located in this city down here in the South that it's tropical 99% of the time that, you know, somehow, some way that we're going to go up there and it's going to be cold. And, oh, boy, we're so affected by the cold. And,
yeah. You know, like, not going to happen, not at this level.
You can do anything for 3.5 hours. Come on.
Yeah, I will. That's true. I will say this. Nothing can hurt as far as this Bengals defense trying to help them out. Maybe the weather gets them a little bit of a assistance here, because I'll tell you, they have not been good. And that's putting it mildly here.
You're being so nice.
This Bengals defense is atrocious. They're last in the league in yards per game, allowing 447. They're last against the pass, 319 yards, 26th against the run. This number is the one that's incredible to me. They're last against third down conversions. Their opponents are converting 56% of third downs against them this year. 56%. I've never seen something like that. That's incredible.
That's a bad recipe against a team like us. I mean, a team like the Saints offense that's as high-powered as we are. Look, we hit on all cylinders. Don't turn the football over today. We might get 300 yards and a half.
Yeah,
I think
this is red alert time for the Bengals in this one. Yeah. Everybody's talking about this from the Saints side, and I understand why Saints fans are cautiously optimistic with you know, the last 5 years of this team and what's happened. But I'm telling you that what's in front of them today is a porous Bengals defense they can take advantage of.
Well, I'll tell you this. Look, you can throw a lot of that stuff out, because really what matters is the matchup. It's each and every week, I can tell you that. It's the matchups. It's really how we're going to match up against that front four, our offensive line. You know, and look, I think we're going to do great, but look, they've got some guys that – look, like I said before, Dunlap can get it done. He's been injured, but he's already still got 7 sacks. You know, Geno Atkins. He's got 6 sacks from the interior already. Okay, they've got guys that can flat get it done. Look, they're missing their best player in Nick Vigil. I mean, this guy is a tackling machine. He's out. Talk about getting hurt. This team is seriously on a mash unit. And they're still able to piece wins together at 5-3.
Just
because they're not, like I said before, because their statistics talk one thing doesn't mean that somehow, some way that this team is not a good football team and this team's not capable of beating you, because we go out there and do anything, you know, that isn't saint-like at this juncture. We'll get thrashed. I'm just telling you right now that this is nothing to – I'm just telling you, right, these guys are jacked up today because we're coming in there, so they're going to have their game on.
Yeah, well, no, this is the National Football League. You know, this isn't Alabama against the Citadel or something.
No, this is not like, hey, I've got finals this week and I'm studying up, or, you know, I've had girlfriend problems, or, you know, I'm worried about, you know, this, that, and the other. No, this is a profession. This is what you do, and each and every week you prepare for each team the same way.
So I thought this clip was really funny. So this is Tre'Quan Smith. He's a rookie. This is on the player show on Thursday, and he's obviously been coached. torched by the, you know, Sean Payton, everybody. No bulletin board material here. You know, we're not playing a good Bengals defense, but don't say anything. So listen to Traquan here. He tries every way not to say something bad about this Bengals defense. Here's Traquan Smith.
They're a great team. You know, watching film today and yesterday, you know, they start off fast. So, you know, as offense, we got to start off fast. And they flow to the ball very well. And we got to block this week. Knowing, you know, I like to block, so I got to make sure I'm on my P's and Q's about blocking. But
it's just easy. He's trying to, every way to dance around that question and nice say, kid. Oh, boy, I don't
nice
want to say anything.
He's just thinking, man, CJ and Coach Sean are listening to this, and they don't want to hear anything. I'm just going to really, really sort of tap dance around this thing, and you could tell. Good job, Traquan.
Yeah, it was
good
a great job.
Really
that was a great job, Traquan. Hey, let's go to Tony on the phone lines in Melbourne, our friend Tony in Australia. Tony, what's going on?
How are you, Steve and Seth?
Tony, what's up?
Congratulations for yesterday, Steve.
Oh, yeah. What's up with that?
Yeah, 3 years ago, the Razorbacks were in town when I was over there, and you gave it to Todd because they beat LSU.
That's right.
The wheel turns.
Hey, it always happens. You got to play the game. So
that's it.
Yep.
Well, just on today's game, in my humble opinion, the O-line has to establish their authority and presence right from the get-go, as does the D-line. They've got to go after Dalton, and they've got to stop any pass yardage and no penalties. That's the other important thing. If the O-line can just be dominant, we'll be okay. Like Kamara will run through them, Ingram will run through. And have they brought that receiver up from the practice squad or not?
They did, yeah. Keith Kirkwood, did, yeah. Tony, yesterday, yep. I believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll see. Like, you know, I do believe it won't be as a big margin. I think it'll be close. Unfortunately, I can't get to see it. I have to put up with Red Zone because I can't listen to Zach and Deuce because of the blackout.
I got you.
We've been having that problem, Tony. Somebody in Canada actually on the test line going, how can we get this in Canada? And yeah, you just can't, unfortunately. But Tony brings up some good points there. This Bengals offense, sneaky efficient. Now, they're in the middle of the pack in pretty much most of the stats, Tony and everybody, but they are efficient. And Andy Dalton, he is having probably his best year, certainly one of the two best years in his career. And Andy Dalton, by the way, he's no spring chicken anymore. He's been in this league since 2011.
Yeah, look, like I said before, these guys could flat get it done. He's, like I said before, he's a little bit streaky, but look, he's got it, the tools to get it done. And there's times you see flashes where this team moves the football pretty well. And then, of course, there's times that they don't. But and that's why they are where they are. But look, 5-3 at this juncture, I think if beginning of the season, if you would tell just about any team coming into the thing and saying, look, at the halfway point, would you take 5-3? A lot of them, you know, they're sort of questioning where they would be. Yeah, they take that. So, look, this is a team to be dealt with that can flat put it on you if we're not ready.
Yeah, and just look at their schedule. They have an inside track here to make the playoffs. They also have the tiebreakers over the Colts, the Dolphins, the Ravens right now. So, in my playoff projections, I got the Bengals in the playoffs squarely in right now. Thanks, Tony. Hold it down under for all the Saints fans. Thanks so much. Let's go back to the phone lines. Jack, you're on Fans First Take with Steve Court.
Hey, who that, guys? Thank you for taking my call. I actually live here in Cincinnati, but I'm a diehard Saints fan. I've been a diehard Saints fan since the Saints won their first playoff game back in 2000. Yeah. So, yeah, even during the Michael Lewis and Aaron Brooks time, I enjoyed them a lot. So, but there's a lot of who that fans up here in Cincinnati, so they're everywhere. And I expect to see a blowout today with the Saints. Winning over the Bengals.
Well, I certainly hope you're right, and it certainly can turn that way. Look, if we jump on them pretty quick and shut them down, look, our defense is playing really, really well. And if we end up shutting down Dalton pretty quickly and he's unable to move the football we create some turnovers and things like that and we're able to turn those into points, it could we could run away with this pretty quickly. But look, I think Cincinnati is a strong football team. I really do. And look, they know that the Saints are coming in. You know, the Saints are this big 7-1 team that are ranked number one really in the league for, you know, by a lot of the analysts are thinking this is the, you know, the team sort of to beat. And NFC-wise, they really are. So, you know, you just look at it and you can say, hey, this is, you know, the weeks past of what we've done. You won 7 straight. We need to keep it going. There's no question. And I think that, look, Cincinnati has all these things and all these pins that they can knock down and all these things to point to. It's easy to get motivated for a team like this coming into your house.
We'll take a break. When we come back, Steve's going to tell us what he's chicken about today in this game. Brought to you by Crispy Crunchy Chicken. And more of your phone calls at 504-260-1870. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. This is the Acadian Windows Fans First Take, getting you ready for Saints Bengals on WWL.
Third down upcoming. Saints 1 of 2 so far in the game on third down. Breeze in the shotgun, joined by Kamara. Has two receivers and a tight end to his right and Mike Thomas alone to his left. Breeze drops back, has a pocket, throws over the middle. That ball's caught. Touchdown, Saints. Tre'Quan Smith.
And Tre'Quan will need to step up here as that Saints receiving core a lot thinner, although Tommy Lee Lewis might be on his way back. Ted Ginn, maybe, if they use both their early returns off of IR. Designated returns later this year, we will see. By the way, your local Super Chevy dealers wish to thank you all. Happy Veterans Day, and thanks to all the veterans for your service. And I know Steve and I, we both
thank them every day for everything we got. So
no doubt. Yeah. Steve, everybody's nervous about something. We know this. You're a nervous little Nelly in here every week. So what makes you chicken about today? What makes you chicken about today's game?
One thing I'm not is a nervous Nelly. But okay.
Brought to you by a Crispy Crunchy Chicken.
Like, look, the only thing I can think of that makes me nervous today is, look, this is a good football team. I guess that if I sort of just kind of pragmatically look at it and think that if we somehow, some way, unable to stop Joe Mixon, you know, he's a very prolific guy. The guy can, you know, is a great, you know, receiver out of the backfield and the things he can do there. He can move the football. He's a big back, big, strong guy. He can either run away from you or run over you. He's, you know, one of those kind of guys and makes a lot of big plays. So he's kind of their go-to guy, and obviously they've got Giovanni Bernard back and the things he can do. He's he does most of his damage really sort of as a receiver out of the backfield. But, look, he can break it. Fast guy. So big plays is probably the thing that would be chicken. And if we go up there and turn the football over, it'd be the only thing that I'm chicken about today. Because other than that, I think if we go up there and just play Saints football the way that you know, we've have and you know, represented the past several weeks of how we've played, we should be able to handle this team.
All right, let's go back to the phone lines here at 504-260-1870. And again, that was brought to you by Crispy Crunchy Chicken. Thanks to them. Pierre on a cell phone. Pierre, what's going on?
Hey, who there, fellas? How y'all doing?
Good. What's up, Pierre?
Good, great.
I just wanted to give a big shout-out to Pittsburgh for beating Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
This Thursday night and the way they beat them.
How embarrassing was that for the Panthers,
beat them like a drum.
Wow. You just don't see, and I'll let you go here, Pierre, but I cannot believe that we saw a Ron Rivera team get embarrassed like that. You just never see that happen. You talk about a guy that always has teams prepared.
Now, that was
That's
a team that,
rare
that I
him.
Thought was sort of, to me, Carolina was right there. They were sort of, you could tell they were kind of ramping up in the way that Cam Newton has been playing this past year. Look, Norv Turner's come in there and done wonderful things with that guy.
Yes.
Okay, and
he
so
has.
I thought he would sort of be really sort of begin to sort of take advantage of this thing. And they looked, you talk about a team that came in flat. That team was flat.
Thursday.
And
man.
They got it put on them. The Steelers just absolutely did whatever they wanted to. Ben Roethlisberger looked like he was in Pascal back there. And that was
so
pretty
six
much it.
Touchdown passes
yeah,
for him.
Something
incredible.
Like that. Yeah.
Pierre, what else you got, man?
Just wanted to, like I said, I know we will win and take advantage of that Carolina loss, but I wanted to ask you guys. What do you think about the Le'Veon Bell situation? Because that could be anything.
Good question, Pierre.
Yeah.
And the report this morning is, if you haven't seen it, he's not coming back, which means he won't be back this year. He won't be back.
Yeah,
I shouldn't say there's no chance, but I highly doubt it.
4 o'clock Tuesday, he has to be back, and I don't think there's anything of that. Now, my thing I understand this as well is that there's a couple options out there. I guess there's kind of a loophole in the collective bargaining agreement
that, you heard that?
Suggests that somehow, some way, if he doesn't come back and they want to make this offer to him, that they have to pay him quarterback-like money, which means $25 million plus a year. That ain't happening. I'm just telling you right now, that ain't happening.
And so, I understand what he's doing. He's trying to set a new market for running backs. He's trying to make that stand, but it's just not going to happen, especially now that they're winning this bunch.
Yeah, well, not only that, but the fact that he's already tossed away, what, $8 million out of the $15 million he was going to make this year, which to me is that makes my stomach hurt.
It does. He sees this, and I know he's got people from the union and his agent in his ear saying, "Hey, you know, this is not only good for you long term. This is good for running backs across the league."
But man, you've got to have some resolve. I mean, you better trust your agent. That's all I can say, because this to me is there's some really really weird things that have gone on this year in the league, and
he's lost that locker room. He's lost a lot of his teammates in that locker room, which you rarely see. Remember the offensive line? I think Villanueva came out earlier this year and was – or maybe it was Pouncey, not him. I guess it was Pouncey. But, yeah, you just don't see players go after each other in the media like that over money.
It's you don't know what's going on in that locker room, you know, with these two guys and sort of how that portrays everybody else there. But it's a unique situation, but it's going to be fun to watch it.
Indeed. He's Steve Court. I'm Seth Dunlap. 30 more minutes here of Fans First Take. You can hop on in at 504-260-1870. More of your phone calls coming up, and play a little contender pretender with Steve. We'll go around the league, talk about some of these elite, quote-unquote, teams, and get Steve's take on them. I'm Seth Dunlap. He's Steve Court. The Acadian Windows Fans First Take continues after news on WWL.
At the Rams 13-yard line. Breeze under center, I formation. Fakes the handoff to Kamara. Rolls out to his right. Throws it up. Ben Watson at the goal line. Touchdown! Ben Watson!
And he announced that his family's going to have twins right after that touchdown. Congratulations to the Watson family. Welcome back to the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Acadian Windows official window company of the Houdat Nation. Saints Bengals coming up at just after noon here, local time. All right, Steve, I want to do a little contender pretender around the league. We're going to skip a couple of the obvious teams like New England and obviously the Saints and the Rams. We know they're contenders, right? But some of these other teams, I want to know if you think they're a contender pretender for a championship. I'm not talking about playoffs. I'm talking about for a Super Bowl title right now. What about Pittsburgh? We'll start there.
Oh, contender for sure. Yeah, I think that's a team that I think that AFC-wise, I think they're sort of right there in the mix to be it'll come down to the New England, Kansas City, Pittsburgh mishmash there to see who comes out of that for sure.
Staying in the AFC, Houston, who's won six straight games, they're 6-3.
Boy, they're right on the verge of it. I'll say contender at this point. This from the standpoint of how they've been playing and how they continue to sort of looked like they continue to improve each week. That's for sure.
Kansas City, you on board the Mahomes train?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
What about Chargers? 6-2, and nobody's talking about them just because what Kansas City is doing in the West.
Yeah, and that's going to be their biggest problem, but is Kansas City. But I can tell you that, each and every week, they're another team that's sort of under radar all the time. But if you continue to watch them, they're good. They've got Phillip Rivers is playing out of his mind, and at the same time, he's one of those guys that's never won anything. You know, he's one of those kind of guys that continues to win games and put things together, but never really sort of gets gets the cup.
Little Dan Marino-ish there,
kind of in a way. I'm gonna say contender. All right.
Anybody else in the AFC you'd have as a contender besides those? We got Cincy, Miami's 5-4. I don't think anybody thinks Miami. You're not thinking Miami's a contender. I don't think Miami's a playoff team.
I don't think so.
Cincy, what about them? 5-3, and you look at the schedule, and they beat the Dolphins. Again, if you're just joining us, they have all these tiebreakers already. This is why I think they're almost a lock to make the playoffs. They've beaten the Colts. They've beaten the Dolphins. They've already beat the Ravens, and they're 5-3.
Well, I certainly think they're going to make the playoffs, again, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about championships. So I definitely think they're going to make the playoffs, but no. So I won't say they'll make it as far as the big game.
All right, in the NFC, the Bears, with that defense and the second-year quarterback, Trubisky.
No, I don't think so. I think they've made leaps and bounds, obviously a lot of improvement from the addition of Khalil Mack, which he's done, and then obviously Trubisky and what he's done with that offense there is. But I just think at this juncture, no, they're not. They'll make the playoffs again, but I don't think they're going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I'm going to reserve judgment until next week.
No, you can't do that.
I can't do that. No. I was going to say, can I have them play the Vikings on Sunday night and judge them? And what about the Vikings, man? Contender here? I thought they were. I don't know if they are.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so anymore. I thought that they might be. I don't think so anymore.
Hmm. All right. Panthers, 6-3, coming off this destruction on Thursday night.
You know, I'm going to say that that's an anomaly, what happened to them Thursday night. I'm going to chalk that up to a Pittsburgh team being sort of hit on all cylinders, and really everything they did that night was great. And then, you know, Carolina having food poisoning or something coming out there doing something that they were so flat. So I'm going to chalk that up as an anomaly because I think they're better than that. So I'm going to say they're a contender.
Washington.
No, I think that they're a pretty good ball club. I think obviously they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to be.
Philly, defending champs, they're 4-4.
Yeah, for some reason, I think everybody's sort of been giving them a bye, but they're only 4-4, right?
Yes.
I mean, come on, that's – no, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think they are either. Holes is the wrong word. There's too many deficiencies on both sides of the football. Green Bay. Green Bay's in trouble, man. Green Bay's in huge trouble. They have 5 non-wins, and then they have
schedule that's a
yeah. They're at Seattle, at Philly the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, they've got a schedule that is. Look, they're great at home. Don't get me wrong. And look, Aaron Rodgers is fun to watch, and you certainly like to, you know, sort of watch them throw the ball around and things like that. But no, they're not a contender.
All right, final one here, Falcons.
No.
I still don't think so. You know what's going to happen here? They're going to get to 6-4 because of the schedule to play, and then they'll play the Saints on the Thanksgiving game.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah,
but I still don't think they're a contender. Not with that many injuries on defense.
I don't either.
Although Matt Ryan's playing as well as he has in a couple of years.
He's playing great, but they're not able to put it together as a team at this juncture. So, no, I don't think they are.
All right. That's a little contender pretender. We'll take a break when we come back. Your phone calls at 504-260-1870. Dave and Bernie and everybody else. We'll get you set for Saints-Bengals today. Saints trying to make it 8 in a row and stay right there with the Rams on top of the NFC. Seth Dunlap, Steve Court here for the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. Let's go back to the phone lines. Bernie, welcome into Fans First Take.
Hey guys, what's going on today?
What you got, Bernie?
I'm fired up, man. Hey, Cincinnati, remember what happened in Los Angeles? We are fired up. Hey, I'm gonna change it up a little bit. Steve, can I get a who dat from you?
Who dat?
Who dat, baby? Let's go.
Cool. Love it, Bernie. Thanks for the call. Dave, welcome into Fans First Take. What's up?
Hey, I got a few things. Who dat, by the way? Not the Bengals, but although, if I'm not mistaken, I think we have, in the few rare times we've played them over there, we've got a losing record. So I hope I...
7-6. Bengals lead the all-time series 7-6, although the Saints have won.
Is that close, huh?
Yeah, okay. 7-6. I think the Saints have won 14 in the past.
We lost the last one. I think we lost the last one, 14, I think. Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, give us a resume on Keith Kirkwood. And another thing, I brought this up a while back on inconsistent officiating. This pick play that I see all the time.
Uh-huh.
And the Rams ran it, you know, where two receivers go one way and one receiver the other way. And I think that's the play that Kupp scored on, and the Saints defender had to avoid one of their receivers, and he got picked off. The officials call it sometimes, and sometimes they don't. So what's up with that? But my initial question was the resume on Kirkwood.
Sure,
tell us about him.
All right, thanks, Dave.
Yeah, go ahead. I tell you what. Let me do the pick play first, and you can tell them about Kirkwood. But
yeah.
Look, if you're going intense, as a wideout down there, if you're intentionally going out to block in that pattern like that, if you're going out to block like that, then that's a pick because of the way it's set up down there. You can't do that within that many yards of the line of scrimmage. But if you are down there actually running a route, okay, and this is how they sort of get along. It's kind of a gray area. When they run that route, the same way, and they don't act like they're blocking. They act like they're running a route, so they might turn around and look at the quarterback or flash their hands or whatever. Then it makes that defender, alter his route, and you know, there in line you have the pick, and it's just as effective because all you really have to do is just make the guy, vary off course there, and it creates the separation there, and then you do it. all teams do that, and it's all it is simply a crossing pattern. You just do it usually down in the tight part of the area, and when it's down there within that a certain number of yards from the line of scrimmage there, that's where you get into an issue. So yeah. So they call it. So they think if the guy's out there blocking with that, then that's when they'll call it.
Yeah, it's just a judgment call. It's just like pass interference or anything else. Keith Kirkwood, I'll tell you this. He was catching everything in training camp this year. He had a lot of people excited and thinking maybe he makes this roster. He's very long, 6'3". He's got that long wingspan. But, I mean, if we're being honest here, Keith Kirkwood's not going to be a big part of this game plan or really any game plan as long as everybody else stays healthy. But he's a solid addition, and I don't think they'll –
I think about the plans yet. Were to sort of – they were going to bring him up kind of regardless as to what happened, you know, with the Dez Bryant issue. So,
prediction time, man. We got to do this real quick. I'll just go back to my official prediction, which I made at WWL.com as part of my weekly picks. Mm-hmm. I got Saints 34, Bengals 24. I think 10-point win, fairly comfortable here.
Yeah, I'm not much further off of you. I think we go above our average. I think our average is 33. I think we go 35 points. And you know we could go way over that, you know, depending on this defense is, but I'm going to be conservative and say 35-17 Saints. We just got to protect the football and then obviously shut down Mixon and the red rifle there.
All right, you know what time it is. When we come back, we're finishing it off with your Who Dat chance. Who's got the best one? 504-260-1870. Give us those Who Dat chance. Let's show these Who Days who we are. 504-260-1870. Back with that, wrapping up Fans First Take on WWL. Welcome back. It's the Acadian Windows Fans First Take on WWL. If you want to hop in with a Who Dat chant, 504-260-1870. And Steve, only about a minute left here, man.
Yep.
Not that anything's ever easy in the NFL, but this won't be a trap game, and I expect the Saints again to handle the Bengals. And this defense that, again, is just not good.
No, look, there's not a trap in this. I mean, you can think that because of how it's set up, you know, being sandwiched in between the two big games. But look, you prepare for each and every one of these games the same way you do for anybody. So there's no way in the world that Sean Payton's gonna let that happen. And I think the leadership of this team is not gonna let that happen. I think we go in there knowing this is a road game. This is a 5-3 team. This is not a bad football team. Somehow, some way, they're scraping out ways to get wins. So. Look, you can't afford to go out there and play flat.
This is broadcast 13-23, man. Got to keep that going. 13-23.
Good job on that.
There you go.
Don't you
for
mess
Steve
this up.
Court, thanks to him. Thanks to Dave Hodder behind the glass. Everybody out there. Saints Bengals coming up. We're handing it off to Countdown to Kickoff.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.